case number 9, 22-065.
Colin Milne, representing the Issuing Authority, Department of Emergency Services, Public Protection. And here I have Officer Dylan Northrup from the East Haven Police Department.
Your tag is so sparkly, I can't read it. Can you spell your last name, Officer?
N-O-R-T-H-R-O-P.
Thank you. Counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, Chair. Good morning. I'm representing the commissioner here at the Issuing Authority in this revocation appeal hearing. We are here today because the appellant's pistol permit was revoked on suitability grounds following contact with East Haven PD in May of 2021. We intend to show that on May 12, 2021, East Haven Officer Northrup was approached by the appellant and his girlfriend while on patrol. The appellant stated to the officer that he had been shot while driving through New Haven. Officer Northrup advised the appellant to go to the hospital and subsequently contacted New Haven police to investigate. However, upon further investigation, it was determined that the appellant was untruthful to the officer and in fact had an accidental discharge at home. We believe that these actions, including the accidental discharge as well as the untruthfulness, are hallmarks of unsuitability.
Thank you, Attorney Mill. Sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
Yeah, I got nervous after the discharge. I didn't know what to say. But I did go back and explain to him what happened. I just got nervous.
Counsel, you may proceed.
Okay. Officer, can you state your current town of employment?
Town of East Haven.
And what is your current job title?
I'm a patrol officer.
How long have you worked in law enforcement?
9.5 years.
And can you describe your specific job duties?
Handling routine calls, patrolling our sectors.
Can you speak up, officer?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah, the mic.
You don't speak into the
microphone. That's for TV. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know how this works. just routine patrol, motor vehicle enforcement, domestics, we get a little bit of everything.
Okay. Were you on duty the early morning of May 12, 2021?
Yes.
Where were you situated that morning?
I was parked right in front of the East Haven Town Beach.
And do you recall having contact with the appellant that evening?
I do.
How was it that you came into contact with the appellant that evening?
He had stopped at the stop sign. He was in a white Jeep, I believe was his girlfriend's, and he approached my vehicle with a band that looked like a towel or something wrapped around his finger, and that's what he described to me, that he had injured his finger.
What did he specifically say to you, if you remember?
He said he'd been shot in the hand, in his finger, and I recall asking him how it happened, where it occurred, and he said he mentioned to me that he had his hand outside of his window while he was driving in New Haven, and that's how his finger got shot. And I advised him to go to the hospital right away, and I would have the New Haven police officers follow up with him while he was at the hospital.
Okay. And did you in fact follow up with New Haven police?
I did. New Haven responded to the hospital and made contact with him there.
Okay. Did you have any other follow-ups with the appellant at that time?
No. Okay. Once he went to the hospital, no. From there, I was contacted by the New Haven Police Department after they spoke with him.
Okay. Do you remember who you spoke with at the New Haven Police?
I believe it was Officer Rubino. I believe the New Haven Police Department.
What did withdrawn? Did they ask you to follow up on any sort of investigative leads?
Oh, yes. So they asked me to locate the vehicle in which the appellant was operating, which I did at the residence in East Haven.
Okay. Do you know if the appellant made any other statements to the New Haven officer at the time?
I don't recall any.
Do you remember if he made... Did he describe to the New Haven police where he was shot?
He said it was in New Haven. I can't remember the road. I can't recall exactly, but yeah, he said it happened in New Haven.
Okay. So you go to the garage. So they asked you to secure the vehicle, is that correct?
Yes, so I go to the residence in East Haven. I locate the vehicle. I do not locate any bullet holes on the vehicle. I do locate a magazine, which would appear to have rounds within the vehicle. And the vehicle was secure at that time. And we had ordered for New Haven to follow up with their investigation that we order a tow truck to remove the vehicle to keep it for evidence as the case was ongoing.
Okay, so we're in the garage and you've looked at the vehicle. Was there any issues with getting the vehicle out of the garage?
Yes, the garage has a low overhang, so the tow truck wouldn't fit to remove the vehicle. So it just had, while we were actually trying to figure out a proper way to do that, the appellant's girlfriend had returned home. So I saw her in the garage and approached her and asked her for the keys to the vehicle so we could.
And what was her reaction to you asking her to move the vehicle?
She was upset, and she advised me that she would be contacting the appellant because there was more to be said and the story might be different of what occurred.
Did she say elaborate on any details?
She said that that he might not be truthful with how the injury occurred.
Were you able to make contact with the appellant?
Yes, she called him on her cell phone, which I was right there with, and I spoke with him over there and asked him, you know, if anything happened differently that night.
And what did he say to you
earlier? He was concerned about losing his guns and everything, and I just asked him just to tell me exactly how it happened. And that's when he told me that it didn't happen in New Haven, that it happened at the residence where we were currently outside of, and that when he was getting up off the couch like that, he had just reached down and accidentally pulled the trigger.
Were you able to get inside and investigate the residence?
Yes, we were given consent from the appellant's girlfriend, who was, I believe, was her apartment. To go and secure the firearm, which we did.
And what did you see in the apartment?
We located the bullet hole in the living room area of the residence.
Was there any 911 calls for the accidental discharge?
That I'm aware of. I don't believe.
Okay. Did the appellant return to the residence?
So after we secured the firearm, inside the residence, then we exited the residence with his girlfriend, which she was with us the whole time, and we awaited the appellate to be released to the hospital to re-enter the house and continue the investigation.
So, just go on. How did it make you feel that he lied to you?
Just the concern of the tying up of multiple agencies' resources during that time was obviously we were treating it as a possible shooting, you know, with a lot of things to go into it. So just a little bit of frustration.
Okay.
But normal. It happens. I get it.
All right. I have no further questions.
Sir, do you have any questions of the officer based on what he just testified to?
No.
Does the board have questions?
About the amount of resources and time involved in this investigation, explain that a little more. You made a report, he had to go to New Haven, they had to investigate. How much time were we talking
about? So, I don't know the exact approximation of time, but between, you know, first of the contact with him sending, getting him to the hospital, and then notifying, obviously, New Haven. And then from there, kind of us figuring out, you know, getting to the residence, locating the vehicle. And then in the meantime of that, I was going back and forth on the phone with the officer at the hospital, you know, trying to go, trying to get more, you know, figure out if they had any, you know, shots fired or anything around the areas in which he was indicating in their town, you know, things like that. So it was multiple hours. I think it was, it went into the early morning.
Yeah, it sounds like it would have been multiple hours. How did he get to the hospital? Was it an ambulance or did he drive?
No, so he, the appellate approached me with his girlfriend driving. He was in the passenger seat and he approached my vehicle with the injury, which he stated. And I do recall telling him that since he already had someone who could bring him there, that actually they would probably be able to get to the hospital faster rather than waiting for an ambulance to get to us and then bring him to the ambulance, to the hospital.
So after telling you the story, he told the New Haven police the same story?
Yep, I told dispatch to set that New Haven. I had his information, his name, and to tell them that you know, they had a possible shooting victim en route to Yale, New Haven, and that, or the hospital, and that he would be waiting to, you know, give them more information on what, how it happened.
And you may not know the answer, but did he say, tell the doctors the same thing, or the emergency room staff?
I don't know.
I guess we can ask.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
All right, thank you.
Other questions by the board?
I just have one.
Colonel.
From the report, like, you were parked in a parking lot and he approached you, was it the same parking lot that where the appellant lived?
Or? No, so is it the same road.
Okay.
It was the parking lot directly in front of the town beach where mm-hmm. you like go visit. The apartment complex was probably about a half mile down the road.
Okay, so.
But on the same.
Gotcha.
On the same.
Yep. Thank you.
I guess I have one more. Who was in the house at the time of the incident?
His girlfriend was.
His girlfriend and no one else, no children.
No children, no. That was it.
Okay. Other questions by the board? Any other witnesses?
No, Chair.
Okay, sir. What would you like us to know?
I honestly wanted to inform him. That's why I stopped. I got nervous about what to say, you know, and really tell him what happened. I felt, you know, like a fool. I had a accidental discharge and just felt kind of stupid. So, but when I did get the chance after speaking with my girlfriend, I then told him what happened.
Counsel, do you have any questions for the appellant?
Lots, but I'll try to keep it brief. So I just want to touch base on a couple things. So I actually want to start with the accidental discharge, the actual how it happened. What model firearm was it that you had?
It's FN 509, 9mm.
Now, how long have you had that pistol?
Can you speak up, sir, please? I can't hear you.
About 5 years, I think.
Okay. So you're pretty familiar with that pistol?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you describe the safety features of that pistol for me and the board?
As far as...
What safety features does it have in terms of to prevent accidental discharges?
It does not have a safety. It does have a trigger safety.
So it does not have a manual safety?
No.
Did you purchase it that way or did you modify that?
No, it's purchased that way. That's how they made it.
Okay. Now, you were sleeping with the pistol?
Yeah, I came in from work, and I did have my appendix carry in my holster, and when I went to undo the clips, when I pulled up, it came out, and my finger must have, you know, slipped and hit it.
So, but you were falling, you fell asleep on the couch?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was in the holster.
And where were you coming from work?
Can you speak up, sir?
I'm not sure what town and stuff. I do construction, so I mean, I'm not positive what town I was working in that day.
So when you say you came home immediately from work, because the incident seemed to happen around 2 a.m.
No, yeah, I was sleeping on the couch.
Okay.
I came in from work, I was watching TV, you know, I fell asleep, and when I woke up to go in the room, I was getting ready and I pulled it up.
When did you come in from work?
Maybe 5, 6.
6 p.m.?
Yeah.
And, okay. And you were asleep on the couch for the...
I mean, I probably had something to eat, you know, and sat down, watched TV for a little bit, and I just fell asleep.
Okay, did you have anything to drink that night?
No. What, alcohol?
Yes.
No.
So why didn't you go straight to the hospital after the discharge?
Well, I was en route, and I didn't know what to say, so I seen the police officer, so I stopped. I just got nervous about what to tell him.
I guess I'm confused why you went out of your way to tell that officer essentially the story. Why didn't you just call 911?
I don't know. I would just go into the hospital.
Okay. Why did you say you were shot in New Haven?
I've been shot at before in New Haven, and it just kind of, I don't know.
You thought that was
I was nervous.
You thought that was a more credible story that you were shot in New Haven?
No, it just... Like I said, I was just nervous, and what I did was just kind of foolish. So I just felt.
I'm going to show you. You submitted a letter dated July 21st, 2021. I'm just going to have you quickly read it. Remember sending that letter?
Yes.
You don't have to read the whole thing, you can read it to yourself. What's missing from this letter?
Maybe that I lied to the cop.
Yeah. Well, that's the answer. You write in that you're a good and moral person, and that I are, for more specifics, I believe that I am of good and moral ethical character. Does a good moral and ethical character lie to a police officer? About an accidental discharge.
And that's why when I had the chance to speak with him, I...
But did you do that? Did you do that on your own?
Yes, it wasn't. I mean, nobody forced me to talk to him. Tell him. I mean, I could have just kept going on with the story, but I know it's wrong, and, you know, and it, to wrap him up, and like you said, to wrap him up in the department and different things.
But that night, did you receive, in fact, the first after you were in the hospital, did you in fact receive a phone call from your girlfriend at that time?
She was with me. So
later at the, she had left the hospital, yeah, at one point,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
And she was with the car when the officer called you.
Yeah, that's not the reason I told him.
Well, that was the first opportunity you told him.
Yes, that was, I mean, I came out of the hospital and I wanted to talk to him.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Board?
Does your pistol, the FN-509, does that have a magazine disconnect? In other words, if the magazine is out of the gun, will it still fire? Some guns have it, some guns
no.
don't. It does not have that.
Well, I mean, if there is a bullet in the chamber, yeah.
If the magazine's out, there's a bullet, it'll
yeah.
still fire.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, were you standing up when the gun discharged?
Yes.
Could you demonstrate for us how you were doing that stand up, please?
I had it, in here, and I went like this to take it off, and as I pulled up, it came out, and I must have had, my finger must have been near the trigger, and as it did, it had to be in one motion when I was pulling it, because I tried to figure this out in my head, too, how it happened,
mm-hmm.
and when I pulled it went off.
So you pulled the trigger, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the safety on that gun is actually on the trigger.
Yes.
So the only way to get that gun to fire is if your finger's on the trigger, you pull it hard enough to disconnect the safety,
yes.
and then you keep pulling it, and the gun goes off.
Yes.
And it was pointed at your finger
floor.
At the time.
Yeah, at the floor.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Because I took...
Yeah, okay. So obviously, trying to take a gun out of the holster with your finger on the trigger is not a very good safety practice.
No, it wouldn't. I leave it like this, straight point finger.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
As I was coming up, I think I pulled it too hard, and my finger must have went well.
My point is your finger had to be on the trigger.
Yes.
And you
yes.
had to have pulled the trigger all the way to get the gun
yes.
to fire.
Yes.
And obviously that's not a good safety practice because you can have an accidental discharge.
Yes.
Okay. And you admit that was not a good thing to do.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Colonel Overture?
About how long did you have your pistol for?
A few years.
In your questionnaire, it shows about a year since.
Yeah, I thought it was like maybe two years.
Yeah, I was just going by the
okay.
questionnaire had. Did you take a safety course?
Yes.
After the incident too?
Yes.
You did. You took a subsequent one?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, not that. I wasn't.
Oh, you took one before.
Yeah, I took one before.
Yep.
I also took one after, but I wasn't directed to.
Okay. So it says here you got it around August of 2020. Is that correct? Your pistol permit?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I have.
Other questions? I'm going to follow up on what Attorney Milne was getting at. It sounds like, and I know you weren't there when this happened, is it your girlfriend or your fiancé?
Now fiancé.
She was home while you were still in the hospital and the police came to look at the vehicle. And it seems at that point the police wanted to tow the vehicle so they could investigate. And at that point, your girlfriend contacted you. Because she stated you did not think you were being truthful. Do you recall when she called you while you were in the hospital?
No,
you don't?
I don't remember talking to the New Haven police either. That's the other thing. I don't remember having a conversation with them about what happened. So, I don't know.
So you don't recall the moment you told them what actually happened?
No, I don't remember. I remember speaking to the East Haven police. I don't remember the New Haven police.
Okay. Had they administered pain medications, I'm assuming, at that point, or?
Possibly.
Did you have surgery?
Yes.
You did. Okay. What it sounds like, and this is of note to me, it sounds like your girlfriend called you because she was upset they were going to tow the vehicle because you stated that's what you were driving when you stated you had been shot. And she got upset because she wanted her car towed. So it kind of sounds like she called in and may have berated you a little bit to change your story.
No, I know how it seems. Okay. But even when I spoke with her, like on the way to the hospital, I was like, I can't say it. Like, there's no truthfulness to it. It's going to come out either way.
Yeah.
Like, so I have to tell them what's going on. Just the timing it took, you know, after the hospital and what happened.
Other questions? Sir, do you have any other witnesses today? Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
I'm sorry for wasting the time, the money, this time. I'm just kind of nervous. I didn't know what to say. I didn't mean it in any harmful way, or I just didn't know what to do.
Counsel?
A lot of typical accidental discharges, the issuing authority tends to ask the individual to go through a safety course.
Speak up, please.
Oh, I apologize. In some accidental discharge cases, depending on the circumstances, we would ask that the appellant attend a safety course. However, we can only train safety so much. What we really cannot train is the appellant to take responsibility for their actions and to be honest. We cannot train that. We've heard from Officer Northrup the concerns and the resources spent investigating this matter. It's just such a current concern to the issuing authority that this level of panic or and really intentional dishonesty was present that night. For those reasons, we don't believe he possesses the character or suitable character to hold a pistol.
Thank you, Counsel. Brief factual, Colonel.
This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection, revocations for suitability. The revocation, basis for the revocation incident occurred in 2021. The appellant approached an East Haven police officer who was in his patrol vehicle, pulled up alongside, and stated he had been shot while in the finger while riding through New Haven. The appellant's girlfriend was driving at the time. East Haven police officer instructed him to go to the hospital. East Haven police contacted New Haven police, advised them of the situation, and dispatched New Haven police officer to the hospital. In the meantime, the New Haven Police Department asked East Haven to secure the vehicle. And I sort of agree, I know what the chair was getting at. I believe at that time when the process of towing that vehicle occurred, from the report and from the officer's testimony, it seems like the appellant's girlfriend basically said, informed East Haven, you need to follow back up. I think there's a little bit more to the story than that. Obviously, she was aware of what occurred. Didn't sound like she didn't want a car towed. And then once sort of East Haven contacted the appellant again, the appellant said he had an AD in his liver column. Had, looks like, a fairly severe injury to his left index finger. He stated he was asleep on the couch, had his firearm in an appendix carry holster. While trying to remove that firearm, he had an AD and shot himself in the left forefinger.
Comments by the board?
If this, and I think even the counsel from the desk said, was just an AD, called it in or whatever, I don't know where I'd be. And it's not like he went to the hospital and made up the story. Actually, proactively sort of engaged East Haven, engaged two agencies in this protracted process. I sort of understand where you're coming from, you know, embarrassment and scared, not sure what to do, but, you know. I understand, but at the same time, he did engage not one, but two police agencies, and, you know, that are stretched pretty thin, especially New Haven, and for that reason, I think I know which way I'm going to go.
Other comments? Attorney
Sinetti? Yeah. I would like to hold for the appellant, but because I understand at the moment it happened, I mean, he's hurt, he's scared, he doesn't want to lose his permit. I understand all that, but taking it to the next level and coming up with a story that involves multiple police departments doing a big investigation because of all the shootings that happened in New Haven, that really kind of cuts against me. And the other aspect of it is, of course, the accidental discharge itself violating pretty basic safety rules that you're taught when you get your pistol permit to begin with. So, you know, putting both of those together, to me, this is a close case, but I think I'd have a problem voting for you in this case. I'm sorry, but can't do it.
Can I just say one thing?
No. Other comments by the board? Just an ironic statement. It didn't occur to me until Attorney Cinetti said it. I know it was in the report that the appellant was concerned about losing his permit. I'd be concerned about losing my finger. I would just go to the hospital, not worrying about the permit. It just seems like the last thing I'd be worrying about at that point. Anyways, Attorney Cinetti.
Issuing authority, reluctantly.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority at this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
And Chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.